LEGO built a drivable Bugatti and more, coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're listening to the podcast, welcome. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you're notified and leave a review to let us know what you thought. We'd really appreciate your thoughts. Keep in mind, I did mention that this is a live show. So there is a live show going on right now over at mixer.com/technewsgadgets. So if you're watching the live show, be sure to click that follow button so you can be notified that we go live. If you're watching people in the background, that's my wife running around doing events, and I think she's looking for something. I think she's looking for Octavius. No, she's not looking for Octavius. You found what you're looking for. Okay, good. Octavius, was there anything that I missed today? I see you have properly adjusted yourself. You are looking in the proper direction. How are you doing today? I heard... Rumor has it, you can type on a keyboard. You're actually chatting with the live viewers during the show, during the pre-show. I don't know. You might have to ban that capability because there are certain commands that you were told to have in place that you don't, and you're not keeping an eye on that. So we might have to tweak some stuff on that. Finally, we are also on Twitter. At Tech News Gadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, suggestions, both during or after the show. Octavius is still not keeping an eye on it. He said he would rather hang out here in Mixer in the live chat because that's where he feels the most appreciated. So, I think that covers all the announcements and the introductions. Now that that's out of the way, let's head on over to today's tech news. But before we do, we have to take a look back in tech history, being that today is August 30th, 2018, on this day in history, in 1885, Gottlieb Daimler received a patent for adding an internal combustion engine to a bicycle to make the first gasoline-driven motorcycle. Also, on this day in 1907, John Motley was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. He would grow up to pioneer the design and construction of ENIAC, along with Presper Eckert, as well as contribute to the creation of BINAC and UNIVAC. And if you don't know what those are kind of important names in computer development history, the ENIAC, BRAINIAC, UNIVAC, all big, massive computers that, oh my goodness, took up rooms, entire rooms, in order to run the simplest calculations. And now we have these tiny little devices that fit inside of our hand. Amazing, isn't it? Also, on this day in 1963, a direct line of communication between the leaders of the USA and USSR, dubbed the Hotline, began operation. On this day in 1969, BBN delivered the first interface message processor, the IMP, to the Networks Measurement Center at UCLA. It was built from a Honeywell DDP-516 computer with 12K of memory and would be used in October to make the first internet connection with Stanford. Graduate students Vinton Cerf, Steve Crocker, Bill Naylor, John Postel, and Mike Wingfield were charged with installation. So this is kind of an important piece of tech history. This is actually what enabled a lot of the networking protocol that goes on between computers currently to help make the internet or the network connection of all the computers globally possible. So that was quite an important step in history. And finally, on this day in 1982, a copyright was issued to 16-year-old V.A. Shiva Ayyandurai for a computer program he called Email, short for electronic mail. And while he may not be considered the inventor of email, he certainly deserves credit for establishing the name. Now moving on to a bit of tech trivia. Did you know that way back in the dark ages, 1999, there was a company. It was called PayPal. And a survey was done on it. And it found out that its unique business model was voted one of the top 10 worst business ideas. Ironically, that company is now worth millions of dollars in processes, millions of dollars of worth of transactions worldwide. Hmm. Methinks something was wrong with that server. Did somebody spike the eggnog? Also, did you know that the Apollo 11, the first spacecraft to carry humans to the moon, is an iconic piece of technology in human history? Fascinatingly enough, the computers carried on board have less processing power than modern-day cell phones. Mm-hmm. You carry technology in your pocket that would have been unthinkable 50 years ago. Isn't technology incredible? Moving so fast. And, let's see. Also, did you know that, it's well known that memory is always getting smaller and more efficient, where once SD cards with a few gigabytes of memory cost $100, they now cost less than $30. But if you go back 60 years, it's even more quaint. In 1956, IBM unveiled the RAMAC computer, one of the first devices to use a hard drive-like device for memory. The RAMAC, or the Random Access Method of Accounting and Control, had 5 megabytes of storage and weighed over, any guesses? 2,000 pounds. Yep, quite impressive. And finally, before the World Wide Web and the establishment of URLs, individual web pages were numbered, and accessing them was less than easy. Not sure if I covered this before, but in that era, it was possible to send an email, but it required a rotary phone to connect to a now obscure device called Micronet via your computer. And what was the web page number for that email? 7776. So, you probably had to dial the operator and say, "Operator, send this email for me." Click. I don't know. I don't know. Technology's gone so far in advance. And speaking of which, the tech news that I have for you guys today, you are going to drool over. You're going to like it too. There's a lot of announcements being made, a lot of news out. And so without further ado, let's head on over to today's tech news. First up, Samsung introduced their 8K QLED TV. While it looks great, well, who really needs it? Currently, been released at IFA 2018, as they just announced it today. It's the company's follow-up to the Q9S concept that we saw earlier at CES, complete with the same AI processing to upscale content into something resembling 8K. Now, that feature is particularly important since it gives Samsung a reason to deliver an 8K TV before there's any real content available. And then based on the author who was ogling this device at Samsung's IFA booth, it certainly looks great, but they're kind of wondering, do you really need it? So let's take a look, shall we? Ooh, look, pictures. For those of you who are listening to the podcast version, you're totally missing out. You should join us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. I heard there's video, and post-show, we play some popular video games and just generally chill, relax, and unwind from the day and whatever problems that were going on that day. Usually, we just chill, have fun. Here's a picture of it. Looks great. Well, okay, that's not really the greatest picture I wanted to show here. Octavius, can you move the screen over? Okay, here we go. A little bit more pictures. Oh, this. But you're actually looking at a top-down view of a skyscrapers in a cityscape setting. Those aren't blurs. Hmm. Interesting. Looks slightly crisp, shall we? Really crisp. Okay, that's a crisp corner, not exactly what we're looking for. Here's a booth, QLED 8K. The colors on that thing. There's the back of it. And that's just a view. There you go, that's what we're looking at. That's the view that we're looking at. The detail on this for 8K with the demo video that they had was incredible. It was spectacular, it was bright, it was vibrant. Hey, if you thought 4K was crisp, this is 8K at 60 frames per second. You want to talk about smooth? This is very quickly where it's going to be headed. So when you first look at it, you'll be floored by its lush colors and astounding brightness. Samsung claims it reaches up to 4,000 nits of peak brightness, but all they could tell from the looping demo was that the light sources looked as bright as you'd expect from a modern HDR screen. When you got up close to the 85-inch model TV that you're looking at right now, there's a sharp detail among individual blades of grass and inside of windows in a skyscraper. The demo video also appeared to be running at 60 frames per second, which made everything on the screen incredibly smooth. So at its core, it's a solid TV, but we've yet to see how well it can upscale lower res content. And no matter how good it is, it never make up for the lack of 8K content that's currently out there. Although, seeing as how technology is moving, it's definitely going to change. Yep, you need one of those. Yeah, this is one to drool over. If you want a nice, crisp TV, I'm sure the gaming consoles are going to have to. PlayStation, Xbox, you're going to up your game. Switch, you might start wanting to work on that. There's also a good chance that this increased sharpness won't even be noticeable from your couch. At the end of the day, this set is still a QLED model, so it's missing out on the benefits you'd find in OLED TVs. You'll have to wait for Samsung's The Wall micro-LED TV to get those inky dark black levels, superior contrast, and better viewing angles. Naturally, they don't have a price just yet, but it should be coming in probably above Samsung's existing QLED TVs. At this point, you're better off getting a high-end OLED TV that looks great today rather than waiting for algorithmic magic to deliver some 8K goodness. But if you want the 8K goodness, now you have the option to do so. Moving on, Acer has announced the upcoming Predator Triton 900 laptop. And you want something else to drool over? This is typically where I go. It's between this and Alienware. The really nice, high-end, crisp gaming laptops or just freestanding desktop tower systems really pull one over. This one that we're looking at here has a display that flips, and I'll have some video that goes along with it. Although it wasn't included in Acer's product announcements during IFA's 2018, the company provided a sneak peek for a gaming laptop called the Predator Triton 900. We don't know any hardware specifics just yet, only that it sports a unique display frame that enables you to flip the screen 180 degrees. Technically, this Predator Triton 900 isn't a two-in-one device, but rather a laptop with a unique display hinge. For instance, you're not going to use this device in tent and stand mode, and given the laptop's cooling design, you likely won't use it in tablet mode either. If anything, the hinged screen brings the visuals closer to your face, or flip the screen, turn the laptop around, and then grab a controller for up-close and personal action in a drive-in theater-like mode. According to Acer, the CNC machine hinge will support a G-Sync display at a pretty high resolution, 3840 by 2160, powered by a discrete GeForce graphics chip and an Intel processor. Given this is a sneak peek, we're going to assume that this mobile gaming monster could rely on NVIDIA's new GeForce RTX 20 series, although NVIDIA has yet to announce its new GPU for laptops, and what's decided will depend on what Acer actually launches with it. So, let's take a cool look at the video, shall we? And there you have it. Other tidbits provided in Acer's tease include a new 4th gen Aeroblade 3D fan design. The CPU and GPU will reside in the area between the screen and the keyboard underneath an intake vent. A fan will reside on each side of the GPU CPU pair pulling in air from the keyboard area rather than through the bottom. Hot air is then jettisoned out the back and sides as usual. Great design given that your legs won't block the air intake, but not really ideal for a tablet mode scenario. Nice indeed, isn't it? The tease also shows that the Predator Triton 900 will include a low-profile RGB backlit mechanical keyboard and a switchable trackpad located on the right side of the keyboard. With one touch, it transforms into an LED-illuminated number pad. Meanwhile, dedicated media keys appear above the top left corner of the keyboard, and there also appears to be a front-facing speaker mounted on each side of the keyboard as well. Port-wise, there appears to be plenty, although we don't have a definitive list. You can clearly see USB-C and USB-A ports, net port, an SD card reader, and more along both edges, while a few others reside on the back. A glowing power button seemingly sits on the right edge, possibly including a fingerprint scanner. Unfortunately, Acer didn't want to cough up any additional information. Representatives said more details will be specified when each region announces the laptop. That said, all we can do now is drool and read on hands-on review coming from IFA 2018. Drool-worthy, right? Methinks people are here at Acer are trying to pull us away from Alienware. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. These are both out in space. Definitely adding this to my want list. Yeah, you're adding it to yours? Yep. So, moving on. Did you know Lego is now building cars? Yes, that's, you heard me right. Lego built a life-size drivable Bugatti. From over a million Technic pieces. Not kidding you, we got pictures and video to go along with this. For those of you obviously listening by podcast, you're totally missing out. Should be joining us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. As always, for the rest of you, if you want the show notes for this or previous episodes, head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can have fun clicking on articles to your delight and just drool over all the videos that we're going to be watching. So, in what might just be the wildest thing ever built with Lego, the company behind the bricks has built a full-size, drivable model of the Bugatti Chiron supercar. Yep, not kidding you guys, you're looking right at a Lego. Built partly as a passion project amongst Lego's creative team and partly as a promo to show off at the Italian Grand Prix, the model's final piece counts in at over 1 million Technic pieces. And for those of you unfamiliar with Technic, it's Lego's line of interconnecting rods, gears, axles, motors, and other parts a little bit more complex than the bricks and blocks that you're currently used to. You want to see a video? I got to see those yeses in the chat. You guys want to see a video? They actually have it lined up with an actual Bugatti. All right. Smash that play button. See what we got.
We'd like to say that with Lego Technic, you can build for real. And to prove this isn't just something we say, but something we mean, we decided to build a car. A true copy of a Bugatti Chiron. And just to make things even more difficult for ourselves, we decided we'd also take our car for a drive. Trying to match the elegant curves of the Bugatti Chiron using only Lego Technic elements was the first challenge. Creating the engine was the second.
Yeah, it's an actual motor.
As if constructing the car in Lego Technic wasn't enough, we also decided we'd like to power it with small Lego Technic power function motors as well. It sounded plausible on paper, but was it even possible? Would our car actually drive? Who better to find out than the guy who test drove the real Bugatti Chiron during its development? We did our last minute checks, held our breaths,
attached the
and
wheel,
sent him on his way. amazing LEGO Technic car just kept on going. LEGO Technic. Build for real.
Yes, quite impressive. LEGO says that all in all, the build process took just shy of 13,500 hours. They started brainstorming back in June of last year, with actual construction beginning in March of 2018. Yeah, right? You're going to be a fanboy over LEGO again. When LEGO first sent the above video over to TechCrunch, who's written up this article, the author first thought that there was some CG trickery going on. And while they responded with a few hundred photos of it being assembled, you want to see a couple? Oh yeah, here we go. Here's some photos. Here's one photo of the chassis of it being built, half of the body. Here's a look at the inner workings of the motor. Here's a look of it being built, assembled on a table. Here's a body of a photo of the inside of the car. It is insane. Here are they testing it out. People stepping in and out of it. Another inside shot. And somebody scratching their head as they're putting this together. Yeah. To be clear, it's not entirely LEGO. There are some components that just can't be replicated in plastic when dealing with something that altogether weighs over 1.5 tons. For example, there's a steel frame that you probably saw in this photo. A pair of batteries, some 3D printed gears, and the whole thing sits on top of an actual Bugatti wheel. Related fun fact, did you know that LEGO is technically the world's biggest producer of tires? Just, you know, the real tiny ones. Right. Wilder yet, it actually moves. It's obviously not going to be able to keep up with an actual Charon with its 250 plus mile per hour top speeds, obviously, but the company says it got the model up to around 13 miles per hour for the video that you just watched. It says it theoretically tops out at around 19 miles per hour. Which is not bad for a car made out of toy parts and powered by a bunch of plastic motors. Seriously speaking, this thing has over 2,000 LEGO power function motors in a massive array, giving it a theoretical total horsepower of 5.3. 24 motor packs are each made up of 96 individual LEGO motors hooking into a steel chain that drives the wheels. Here's a couple other fun tricks for good measure. It has a detachable steering wheel. The door is actually open and closed. A spoiler lifts and lowers at the push of a button with a control panel to toggle all lights and electronics. And it has a functional speedometer also built out of Technic pieces. Silly, perhaps? Amazing? Absolutely. Alas, for anyone thinking of doing something like this without the practical, unlimited array of the LEGO and the team to put this all together, retail price of around $30 each for a pack would cost you 70 grand just for the motors alone. Parcel, yes. Fire away with your question. To finish up this, LEGO will be showing the model off in person at the Italian Grand Prix in Monza. So, drooling enough? Not done yet. Have a little bit of bad news. Battlefield 5 has been delayed. There's a new release date announced. You needed to get a two-factor authentication code. Well, you do need a smartphone or like an iPad or a smart device in order to enable that. I'm thinking it's probably for Fortnite, but I actually haven't enabled it myself, so there's a little bit of give and take when it comes to the two-factor authentication. It works out great, but just keep in mind that even though it is more secure, sometimes it is hackable, as been seen by Twitch streamers as of late, who somehow had their phone hacked into, and all the security went out the window when it had access to the phone. And that was when it was in their pocket. So, moving on. Battlefield 5 has been delayed. The World War II shooter will now launch for PS4, Xbox One, and PC on November 20th. EA confirmed this in a statement earlier. Company says that the delay will give DICE additional development time to fine-tune the game as it sees fit. They're going to be taking some time to continue final adjustments to core gameplay and to ensure we really deliver on the potential of Tides of War. We know moving the launch date means that we'll all have to wait a little longer, but we're going to take our time to make sure we get it right. And this may actually bode out well. See, Battlefield 5 was previously scheduled to launch on October 19th, meaning it'll now be released after Red Dead Redemption 2, along with other big titles like Hitman 2 and Fallout 76. Battlefield's biggest rival, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, launches on October 12th. So, yeah, so COD doesn't take all the money. So it seems like they might be banking on the point of if we can actually fine-tune this and tweak it to the point that it actually works, there is a slim chance that Battlefield 5 will pan out a lot better, and the people playing Call of Duty Black Ops 4 are going to get bored about a month and a half into it, then, you know, Thanksgiving season kicks up again, and people go, ooh, new game, and then maybe they'll be busy with this over the holiday season and play this for a little bit longer, because it obviously just came out right around Thanksgiving. EA confirmed that the upcoming Battlefield 5 open beta will still go live as planned on September 6th. So, good news to look forward to there, and not so good news of a game being pushed out. Speaking of which, there are current rumors going around right now in our next article that the PlayStation 5, people have found the code name for it, digging around, codenamed Erebus. Next generation talk continues to be a hot topic, with even publishers themselves discussing what's next on the gaming horizon, with both the PlayStation 5 and codenamed Xbox Scarlet looming closer and closer. Rumor mill has picked up, enter the latest report, Erebus. Thanks to a recent post over on Resetera, the codename was found hidden away in the latest version of Unreal Engine 4. Additionally, they also found the abbreviation TST2, also tied to what could be the next platform. The name would be appropriate given that Erebus, Grecian god of darkness, perfect for the next generation that's shrouded in mystery. What offers more validity to this rumor is that it is used side by side with Xbox One and PlayStation 4 with the files. Here's another interesting tidbit of info if you want to jump on the conspiracy bandwagon or what's that eyeball thing going on? I forgot. I don't know. Some people did some research on Wikipedia, and they said, oh, look, Erebus was often conceived as a primordial deity representing the personification of darkness. For instance, Hesiod's Theogony identifies him as one of the first five beings in existence, born of chaos. Notice the five being bolded? Tinfoil hats are ready because this just makes too much sense to ignore. Five, PlayStation 5? You can see actual image files right there to compare for yourself, but if the rumor proves to be true, he might be even closer to the next generation than we originally thought. According to an earlier report, the PlayStation 5 could tail behind the next Xbox. And though Xbox's Phil Spencer casually mentioned that the next gen is already in the works, it was industry analyst Michael Patcher that is putting more of a timeline on the future of gaming. Patcher recently told Gaming Bolt, I'm sure Microsoft intends to launch first, and I'm equally certain that the new Xbox will be backwards compatible with any Xbox One X software. He then added, I agree that it's hard for Xbox One X purchasers, but they should know 4 years into a cycle that there's another one coming. My guess is that Microsoft intends to launch in 2020, but if they think they're going to launch the PlayStation 5 then, they will launch early. What are you hoping to see from next Xbox and PlayStation 5? Might we see 8K support for video games? I don't know. See. Moving on. For those of you with Xbox, you'll be happy. Here's... For those of you who are members, every Xbox One and Xbox 360 game you can download for free September. And instead of having me do it, I'm actually going to have Xbox themselves do it. So, put on your seats. Here we go.
Hi, Xbox fans. Get ready for the Games with Gold September lineup. As always, all four games are playable and acquirable on Xbox One and free to those with an active Xbox Live Gold subscription. Beginning September 1st, take control of designing, running, and maintaining a maximum security penitentiary in Prison Architect.
This one seems interesting.
You manage everything from designing the prison, handling riots, infernos, and hostage situations, to hiring staff and reforming inmates. See the results of your grand designs play out as you get to decide what type of warden you become. Then come back on September 16th and break the infinite cycle of war between the machines in the twin stick shooter Live Lock. Control one of three mechanical chassis types, Hex, Vanguard, or Catalyst, to defeat your mechanical enemies in this three-player co-op as you try to unlock Eden and revive humanity. On the Xbox 360, September 1st, journey to a galaxy far, far away in LEGO Star Wars 3. Based on the Clone Wars animated series, experience massive ground battles, boss fights, and multi-layered space combat in the unique LEGO style. May the Force and LEGO be with you. Finally, on September 16th, bring peace back to Monster World in three classic RPG titles from the past. In Sega Vintage Collection, Monster World. Relive the fun of the Wonder Boy series, including the final chapter never released outside of Japan. This is retro adventure gaming at its finest. To redeem the title, simply click on the gold area on your Xbox One, your Xbox 360, or even on the web at xbox.com/gameswithgold. Your new games will automatically appear in the ready-to-install section of your Xbox One. With Xbox Live Gold, you are part of the world's premier gaming community.
All right. Thank you so much for recapping that. Now, Xbox gamers, you guys are happy, so you guys know what you're going to be getting for this month. I'm still working on a total list. I usually announce it around right on the first of every month over at technewsgadget.net. I recap all of the games that are coming out on all of the systems, not just updates, dog. And even though September is lining up to be mostly, from what I can see so far, sports-related, there are a couple other interesting games outside of Spider-Man, and I know another Destiny 2 Forsaken update to come out. I have to keep an eye on. I know, obviously, the bigger month is October and November. That's where the big, big, double, triple-A hitters hit. So, that being said, that's that. I also have a trailer for a game that is on Steam Early Access, came out yesterday. I do know that they have beta players. I don't know. The game is called Scum, and the trailer here is called Welcome to Scum Island. It's this really, it has a lot of DayZ mechanics into it, along with a couple other features that make it kind of unique. And then there's this weird little twist that comes like halfway through. From what I've found so far, this game has a lot of mixed reviews, mostly good, a lot of helpful reviews, and some bad. We'll get to some of the reviews, but I want you guys to watch the trailer, form your own opinions, and currently this is a game that's starting to trend slightly on Mixer, so I don't know, it may be like another game coming up in like the second or third tier of overall games coming up here on Mixer. But let's take a look. And you guys can talk amongst yourself and decide, see if this might be a game worth playing, shall we? Cue the trailer, Octavius. Oh, beautiful music.
So,
these graphics.
I hear you're serving a life sentence without parole.
Yep.
Seems you were a bit of a badass on the outside. Think you got what it takes to be a badass inside the system? Well, have I got an opportunity for you?
Keep in mind, this game's probably rated M.
Here on Tech One's Scum Island, you'll have the chance to explore 144 square kilometers of terrain with a variety of unique environments. We have regular day and night cycles and dynamic weather patterns to keep things interesting. The island has many hidden treasures for you to discover. Remember to stay away from restricted areas. It may be tempting to loot them for supplies, but these areas are heavily guarded and you will be shot on sight. Before you set foot on the island, you're going to have some decisions to make about how you're going to approach your new surroundings. What kind of competitor are you going to be? Strong, stealthy. However you choose to start out, remember that you will grow and mature during the event. Experience is the best trainer that you can have. Pay attention to your body. Many things will affect your health and performance while you're fighting to survive, sometimes in ways you might not expect. When it comes to your metabolism, remember that everything is connected. This opportunity is going to push you to your limits physically. You'll be running, climbing, swimming, jumping. This isn't going to be easy, and you're going to need food and tools to survive. But you'll have to balance that with how heavy they are and how capable you are. You can't outrun a bear if you're loaded down with equipment. And you're going to have to learn to use your tools as well. Your skill and the environment are going to impact your ability to do everything from firing a sniper rifle to keeping yourself fed. Don't worry though, practice makes perfect, and you'll be getting plenty of practice. If you find you need a tool or item built, fear not. There are plenty of resources on the island that you can find to craft whatever you might need. You'll also need to hunt for food out there. Pay attention to your surroundings. Focus and scavenge. It's the only way to survive. Survival is only part of what you're doing on the island. The real reason you're going through all this is for the glory of battle. Join events and test your skills against other prisoners. There are a variety of games for you to participate in. The best part is, your exploits and executions will be televised for the entertainment of the masses. Do well, and you'll gain fame, glory, and riches. You'll have fans and followers on the edge of their seats cheering you on as you climb to the top of the ranks. The most famous competitors may even get a bounty on their heads. But if you're badass enough to warrant a bounty, I'd say you're also tough enough to defend yourself. And the fame and riches you'll be acquiring make it well worth the risk. I sincerely hope this little informational briefing has sold you on the idea of joining our little group. If not, it doesn't really matter. You don't have a choice if you comply voluntarily, but you will comply. Look on the bright side. One way or another, you've already earned your freedom. And there's nothing more important than freedom, prisoner.
Quite interesting game so far. Oh, what's this? Interesting. Available now in early access. Let's take a quick look at some of what the reviews have stated here. Let's see. Seems like you get something called fame points, and the more fame points you get, that's the kind of currency that they use. You're able to get better armor, massive landscapes, PvP networked events, expanded gameplay, and an online multiplayer. You can survive with up to 64 players per server with the option to rent your own server right from the in-game menu. There's a lot of features here. It seems to me like they're going a lot... They packed a lot into this game. Hopefully it turns out well, because I do know a couple other games that had a lot of this in it, but it seemed to get bogged down a lot, and it really made it difficult to try and pull all the bugs out. Some of the people are saying that they've been playing it as an alpha tester for some time, and the best thing about this game are the developers, and they're working really hard to make the game as good as possible. It is important to note that it is in early access, which means it's not finished yet, and it's full of bugs and lacks content, and being that it is early access, you're kind of testing stuff out as we go along here, so keep that in mind. another person recommended it, and they said 3 hours of gameplay so far, died once to being punched while they had a shovel. I hit several times with the shovel, but apparently he punches better than a shovel. And then he also killed a guy in an intense hopping gunfight. He had a pistol with no magazine, and he had to keep reloading only one shot while the other guy was jumping around with a .22 rifle. He shot me once, but I shot him a couple of times and won. He also said, I like the game, I like how detailed it is, I like being able to pee and poop wherever I want, and sometimes it so happens to be on a dead body, don't judge. another person said, I think I'll wait a little bit longer than 9 hours after release to throw the game under the bus. And finally, one person recommended it, 10 out of 10, I pooped on a chimney, would poop again. Decide for yourself whether Scum is a game you might be interested in. Otherwise, we'll see what's around the corner. So, being that wraps up all of the content for today, thanks so much for joining us, guys. If I happen to miss any news by chance, be sure to let me know on Twitter at TechNewsGadget, or you can do it right here in the live chat room, and we'll be sure to keep you guys informed and up to date. Also, if you are on the go but you want to get a recap of the daily shows, if you're not able to watch on Mixer in person, be sure to head on over to your favorite podcasting app, type in Latest in Tech News Podcast, and we'll be right there. You can subscribe, leave a review, and keep up to date with the latest podcast episode if you're not able to join us live. As always, we are live virtually every single day over at mixer.com/TechNewsGadget. And with that being said, Octavius, I think that about wraps it up. Sounds good. We'll be going post-show now, doing some gameplay. So if you guys who are watching us over on Mixer, we'll be hopping right over to some gameplay. So that will do it for me. You've been listening to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.